Sin is violation of light. And so God, it's not for us to look at other people and go, you're sinning, you're in sin. We don't know what light they have. We don't know what they see and what they don't see. And it's for us to judge ourselves and walk in the light that we have.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome guest teacher Keith Moore to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Keith Moore brings a message on truth and the importance of walking in the light of the Word of God.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Keith Moore, and I'm delighted to be with you again today to share the Word of God, the life-changing, healing, delivering, prospering, living Word of God. Brother Kenneth and Miss Gloria Copeland have asked us to share on these days, so graciously allowed us this tremendous opportunity. I thank God for their confidence in us and our friendship, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to join with you in believing for great deliverance. I have it in my heart that many who have been bound by sin, by habits, falling into the same traps of the enemy, yielding to temptation and missing it again and again and again, are getting free in these days. They're getting free in this week. They're getting free from this Word. There's anointing on the Word of God. That anointing's more powerful than your past. It's more powerful than the cravings of your mind and your flesh. I'm telling you, there's something bigger than sin. Jesus has solved the sin problem. He came, He endured every temptation, He bore the penalty for all of it, and He has arisen triumphant over sin, and because of it, sin shall not have dominion over you. Get your Bible, if you would, and let's look at those texts that we've been looking at on the previous broadcast. If you weren't with us, you can go online and catch up and be a part of this again. But we were at Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and then also Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Get your Bible, get your paper, get your pen if you can, and because the Lord will speak things to you. And sometimes you know you're more in the Spirit than you realize you are. Something so real and strong to you, you think, man, I'll never forget that. But then you get back and go to work and get back to your housework, and you think, you know, 8 hours later, what was that He said to me? It got completely away from you. It's because you got back in the flesh and it got away from you. So jot things down, make notes, tape, record things so you can go back. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 15th verse. It says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Glory to God. His whole life he went without committing a sin. And yet he was tempted. Anything that you've ever been tempted in, he was tempted in. I know a lot of religious thinking people don't like that. They don't want to think that, but the Bible is true. He was tempted in all points, in everything, just like we are. Yet, no sin, without sin. The Scripture said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." In the 2nd chapter of Hebrews, it words it like this. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." He's made just like us in all things. "That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor," or to help, "them that are tempted." In the fact that he's been tempted, in every way just like us. He's able to help us when we're tempted. The scripture says in the Living Bible, I believe it is, it says he is wonderfully able to help us when we're tempted. Aren't you glad for that? That he is one. That's why verse 16 said of chapter 4, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What can we find? We can find wonderful help, wonderful grace to help us. For what? So that we don't yield to temptation. So that we don't yield to it and fail and fall. Now, go with me if you would today. We were in Romans in our previous broadcast. Let's go back to Romans. But we were at the 6th chapter. Let's back up to the 4th chapter. Romans chapter 4. When we say tempted, you're tempted. Let's ask and answer the question, tempted to what? Tempted to what? The answer is tempted to sin. Sin. Sin is an unpopular word now. People are not comfortable with it in a lot of places. They've substituted other words for it. And it's politically incorrect. And so a lot of people have adopted that and they've brought that into the church. And they don't want to use the word sin, but no, we should use the word sin. We should talk about sin. We should know what sin is. Sin is what put Jesus on the cross. Sin brings death. Sin is serious, serious business. I've heard people talk about yielding to sin. And you talk to them about not yielding again. And they said, I know I may mess up again, but I'll just 1 John 1:9 it. Well, friend, that's speaking disparagingly of the precious holy blood. Do we know what it cost Jesus for us to get forgiven of sin? It was our sin that put him on the cross. It was our sin that caused him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was our sin that he had to go to the heart of the earth and pay the price. It should not be referred to flippantly and callously and go, well, you know, we all sin. I'll probably sin again on that, but you know, I'll just 1 John 1, no, no, no. It's a serious thing, the Bible says, when you know better and you willingly violate light, it's going to cost you. And that's what we need to talk about. Proverbs 14:9, you don't have to turn there, but listen to it. Proverbs 14:9, it says, a fool will laugh at sin. The King James says, fools make a mock of sin. But among the just, grace shall abide. The English version says, foolish people don't care if they sin. But good people want to be forgiven. There's a lot of mockery made of sin nowadays. And people think it's all subjective. And they go, well, what sin? What sin? You know, to each his own. And they think it's an archaic religious concept. No, friend. Sin is very serious. Three things you need to know about sin. And know and never forget. Sin is real. Sin is very, very real. Secondly, sin is a deceiver. The Bible talks in Hebrews about the deceitfulness of sin. See, the more a person yields to sin, the blinder they become. Sin deceives. And then thirdly, sin is a killer. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. Now, this is the thing that from the beginning, the devil has tried to convince people of. You know the first sin that occurred, don't you, with mankind? All the way back in Genesis, God made the heavens and the earth. He made man. He made the woman from the man. He told them, you can eat of any of the trees of the garden except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't eat that, because if you do, in the day you do, you die. You'll surely die. Well, the enemy came And he tempted them. He tempted Eve. He tempted Adam to eat of the tree that they were told not to eat of. And this is what he tried to convince them. He said, no, you will not surely die. You won't die. He's telling them they can sin without the death. They can sin without consequences. And I'm telling you, they found out the hard way that it was a complete lie. When they took of the fruit of that tree that God commanded them not to, they died. They died in their spirit. Oh, man. And death came into the earth. Their minds, death affected their souls, their emotions, their bodies, the plants, the animals, the very dirt, the atmosphere. You know, all of the curse, all of the death that's in the earth is because of man's sin. The enemy would have never had an opportunity to work or to kill, steal, and destroy if man had never sinned. Now, there's no need you and I looking back and feeling hard at Adam and Eve for sinning and messing everything up, because we've already proven we'd have done the same thing. Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's what they did, sin. But never again believe the devil's lie that you can sin without consequences. Sin without death coming. There's such a flippant attitude among many believers today concerning this. You hear people say, I know it's wrong, and I know I shouldn't do it, and I know it may cost me, but I'm going to do it. I'm talking about Christians, believers. Well, friend, the truth is you don't know how much it's going to cost you, and it is going to cost you. And even by the grace and mercy of God, sin brings death. You can get free from it, you can overcome it, but you're going to experience some death when you do it. No, it's better to live free. It's better not to yield. It's better not to give in. In Romans, the 4th chapter and the 15th verse, it says, where no law is, there is no transgression. Let's get into talking about what sin is, because what we're touching on now is holiness. And a lot of people, when they hear that very word, they go off on a tangent. And they think holiness has to do with some man's or some group's or some denomination's lists of do's and don'ts. And you got people, bless their hearts, they come up with all kind of stuff and go, this is a sin and that's a sin and this is not a sin and that's a sin. And I've heard different groups that said, you know, that they thought drinking certain beverages, I'm not talking about alcoholic, but even common beverages were sin. One group said they thought using deodorant was sin. Boy, you'd almost think not using it would be a sin. But people have some strange, goofy ideas about what is sin. And so you got people always asking this question, is this a sin? Is such and such a sin? Is this a sin? Let's answer the question solidly from the Word of God. Don't try to turn to all these, but just listen to them. 1 John 3:4 says sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 5:17 says all unrighteousness is sin. Proverbs 21:4 says a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Did you know that the wrong look can be sin? Proverbs 24:9 says the thought of foolishness is sin. Did you know letting yourself think on certain things could be sin? James 4:17 says to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin can be what you didn't do. And Romans 14:23, which covers a lot of ground, says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. One translation says it like this. I believe the Amplified gets into this. Talks about whatever is done without a sense of its approval by God is sin. And that touches on the real heart of the matter. I could, if we had time, we could go to a lot of scriptures and talk about this, but just to summarize it and bring it in a nutshell to something that I've seen helps me a lot. This one phrase, what is sin? Violation of light. Violation of light. See, the law brought them light. And he talked about if you know to do good and don't do it well, that you got some light. You knew something. And whatever is not of faith is sin. When faith comes by hearing the word, light comes. We're held accountable, you and I, for the light we have. And so that's one reason that we are not qualified to judge each other, and we are commanded not to judge. Because I don't know what light you have. You don't know what light I have. And you know, as we grow, our light increases. I know, looking back several years in my life ago, I was doing some things that I no longer do. But I didn't see it was wrong at the time. But after growing in the Lord and getting more light, I realized that's not right. I shouldn't do that. So I changed. I stopped by His grace. I made changes. But now, was it sin to me at that time? The answer is no, because God holds us accountable for the light that we have. If I didn't see it, He's fair and just and doesn't hold me accountable for what I don't see. Now, in Romans 4:15, we read it. Let me remind you of it. The complete Jewish Bible says, where there is no law, there is also no violation. Go with me, please, to John, Gospel account of John, and the 9th chapter. This helped me a lot to see what is sin. Because if we're talking about being tempted to what? Being tempted to sin. What is sin? In John 9, Jesus ministered to the man that was blind. You know, He put mud in his eyes, told him to go wash, and he went and washed and came seeing. That caused a real uproar among the religious leaders. They became all upset because a healing had happened on the Sabbath day. They were so confused. And yet, down in, after the man had gone and given his testimony, and they really threw him out, they excommunicated him. Verse 39, Jesus said this, "For judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." You know, Jesus said earlier in this fifth verse of the same chapter, "I am the light of the world." He is the light. And the Pharisees, verse 40 of chapter 9, were so upset, they said, "Are we blind also?" Now listen to what Jesus said in verse 41. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Oh, do you see these words? He said, if you were blind, if you didn't see, you should have no sin. But because you say, "We see," He said, your sin remains. What is sin? Sin is violation of light. And so God, it's not for us to look at other people and go, "You're sinning, you're in sin." We don't know what light they have. We don't know what they see and what they don't see. And it's for us to judge ourselves and walk in the light that we have. Now, when you say that, sometimes people like that idea because they think all I have to say is, "Well, I didn't see it. I didn't know it was wrong." And so you're not held accountable. You didn't sin. But the Lord knows what you see. He knows what you know. You can't fool Him. And so many times people kid themselves and they try to con other people, acting like, I didn't realize that, acting like I didn't know that. Well, now you've sinned again. You not only knew better than what you did, you know better than what you're doing right now. And so you're continuing to yield to wrong temptation. You're continuing to violate your light. It really is very simple. In fact, in 1 John, very familiar passage of Scripture, most every believer knows 1 John 1:9, and if you don't, you ought to get it real quick. 1 John 1:9, about getting free and being forgiven of sin. But back up earlier in the passage, he says this, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, if you yield and go a wrong way, your heart's going to bother you. That's going to hinder you in your fellowship with the Lord. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's us and the Master. And it would involve fellowship with other believers, but it's talking specifically about us and him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this word cleanses is a present tense continuous. Come back to the phrase, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship, and his blood is cleansing and keeps on cleansing us. Thank God for this, friend. Have we missed it ignorantly? Yeah, many times. One of our biggest weaknesses is what we don't know. But where there is no law, there's no transgression and no sin. Where people didn't see and know what was right, they're not held accountable for sin. And when you and I don't see and know something, we really don't. I don't mean we're pretending not to see it. I mean we really don't see it. Then the Lord's merciful. And he doesn't account that as sin to us. Isn't he gracious? And if we walk in all the light we have, here's the good news. His blood is continually cleansing us from all the stuff we don't see, all the stuff we don't know that we're doing wrong, all the stuff we really genuinely don't see. His blood is present tense, continuous, cleansing us. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. But that's if we walk in the light. What does that mean? Just do what you know to do. If you know it's wrong, stop it. If you know you should be doing it, start it. Do what you know to do and be free. Stay right there. I'll be right back in just a moment.
Before he created the foundations of the world, God knew you, God loved you, and his love for you is unchanging. Regardless of what the storms of life throw against us, we have no reason to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. In order to stand against those storms, faith must be developed in God's love, just as in any area of life.
There is one thing that there is little to almost zero preaching, teaching, meditation, and study about in the body of Christ. And that is developing our faith in the love of God.
In Faith in God's Love, Kenneth Copeland brings powerful insight on how to walk in the love of God. In 4 messages on 5 CDs, you'll learn how to believe in the love that God has for you, how to develop your faith in God, learn that love never fails, and how to commit to a lifestyle of love that will share God's love with the world around you. To order your copy of Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Faith in God's Love, log on to kcm.org and order online. This vital teaching is now available for just $12. To order by phone, you may call us at 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order your copy of Faith in God's Love today and start developing a stronger knowledge and confidence in God's love.
Praise God. Say it out loud with me right now. I'm walking in the light, and his blood is cleansing me from all sin. Thank you, Lord. You know, we taught for 9 different times on this series, The Truth About Temptation. And Kenneth Copeland Ministries is making this available to you as a free download. Of course, a lot of material we've covered that we won't have time for on the broadcast, but all you got to do is go to kcm.org and follow the instructions there, and you can download these 9 sessions, the entirety of this. And not only that, but there is a wealth of ministry on the website. You can watch or listen to meetings, Believers Victory Campaigns, and meetings from the past year and previous years. I'm telling you, there's just no excuse for not getting full of the Word of God nowadays, and this is a tremendous resource. Take advantage of it and use it. Also, we've got coming up the Branson Victory Campaign. I'm excited about it. It's March the 5th through the 7th in my home of Branson, Missouri, and this will be our 7th time to have this, and I'm telling you, it's a glorious, glorious time. If you haven't done so, pray about it. See what the Lord would direct you to do. Make your arrangements and get there. I'm excited about the rest of the broadcast this week. Make sure that you commit to the time and get in here and believe with me, because I'm telling you, we're getting free. Free from sin. Sin shall no longer have any dominion over us. Jesus has bought and paid for it. We're going to enjoy it. Come back and join us tomorrow. Till then, this is Keith Moore reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website today at kcm.org. There you can purchase this week's broadasts on DVD or CD, or a copy of today's product through our online store. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life.
What about 2009? That Babylonian system out there is not going to get any better. That thing has come apart, but we don't have to live in that system. You were taken out of the authority of darkness, and you were given the power and the authority and put into the kingdom of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So get yourself ready. We're moving into that master plan for our lives even more than ever, ever before.
Come join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the 2009 Branson Victory Campaign, March 5th through the 7th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Take 3 days to ground your faith on God's Word and get answers to living successfully in every area of your life. Go to kcm.org. or call 800-600-7395.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
The tempter comes to tempt us all. Oh, but the good news is, by the greater one inside, and with the help of Jesus, we can resist every temptation.